Linda.
Oh, wow. You're almost 2 minutes early today.
It says 7:59 right on my clock, and it ticked over a little while ago. So.
No, it's good because I was standing next to my front door just waiting for you to call so that I could step out. And I was like feeling the way I did when I was in middle school and you would like give a boy your number and they would tell you like what time they were going to call, you know, and you're like, okay, he said 7:15, it's 7:15, and oh God, it's 7:16 now. Oh no.
What could he be doing? 7:16.
I wonder if he's going to stand me up and then the phone rings and then you pee your pants a little.
I am trying to think if I ever called the home of a young lady, which I was interested in as a child.
You must have.
I don't think I did.
What?
My main means of correspondence with people, period, especially people I was romantically interested in like middle school. You know, the age when you're interested in people, but you're not an adult, and so you're not actually pursuing adult relationships. You're just like, you know, seeing what it might be like to...
You're playing pretend, right?
Yeah, you're seeing what it might be like to maybe have a relationship. My main means of communication at that point was AIM. And
oh,
so
yeah.
I did a lot of AIMing with people. And I don't think I ever, like, called the phone and was like, oh, hey, Mrs. Smith, I'm calling for Sarah or whatever.
Oh, I did that a lot. I was the girl who called other boys, and in the South,
yeah, you would
like,
be
a little taboo.
I'm sure they loved it, though.
So, what was your AIM screen name?
Oh, no, not this question, Linda.
I mean, we gotta go there. We can't not.
Okay, so it was my first ever screen name of any kind, my first ever username on anything. I remember the screen where I made it, and you, like, would type it in, and if you what you wanted didn't exist, it would, like, offer something to you.
Ooh.
So, the username I wanted was Speed. I wanted to just be called Speed.
Just Speed.
I was really
like
into racing at the time. Automobiles, motorcycles, all kinds of stuff. I spent a lot of time watching Speed TV at this sort of late elementary school, middle, or early middle school years of my life. So I wanted to be called Speed, and it was like, sorry, Speed's not available. And it didn't offer me like Speed 1 or Speed 2 or like underscore Speed. It was like, do you want to be Speed 99307? And I was like, sure, I guess that's the next one available. And at the age I was, I actually had the thought, I was like, wow, the internet is so big that 999,306 people also have the screen name Speed.
Also had the idea, I really need to be Speed.
Yeah.
Exactly. So today I upgraded our sketch license for the design team so that I had like multiple seats under the same serial number.
Oh yeah, I know how that goes. Now we're talking shop.
Oh yeah.
This is a tech podcast for all you designers out there. Here's how to get all your seats under the same count. Make your optimizations.
To see like how many we had already used because we were opening it up to the engineers. They're opening our sketch files and looking at our specs. So we needed to have a few accounts for the engineers. And so somebody registered under the name and their computer is named Stab. Just S-T-A-B, Stab.
That is very peculiar.
Yeah, so I sent a screenshot to the team, and I'm like, all right, which one of you fools is Stab?
Did you have a confessor? Did somebody come forward?
No, so it must be one of the engineers, and they're just laying low.
Is that just like some initials, though, or something? Is that like Stephen, Andrew, Bartholomew, or whatever?
All lowercase, Stab. I hope it's just like they're cool. Like
Stacy Antoinette.
Yeah.
Billiams. I can't think of any last names that begin with B. What's the last name that begins with B?
I don't know. Billingsworth. We're a remote company, so we have all kinds of weird names.
Oh, they're weird, Linda?
Just because they're not white,
they're weird.
You're right. Good call out.
I'm trolling you.
So my screen name was I8A Monkey.
So here's the thing. I'm so jealous.
I feel like there's
some kind of like profoundly witty, like natural bone in your body that I just don't have because there's no conceivable way that I at 11 or whatever. And actually, now that I'm ruminating on it, for years I always said, like, I don't know where this machine got 99307 from. I'm assuming it was the date. I'm guessing this was like 1999. Yeah. In like March 7th, maybe? Is that possible that I got an AAM account in 99?
Maybe. I know, yeah, definitely. Because I was in the fifth grade when I had my first AIM account. It was like the only way that I talked to the outside world, and I looked so forward to it every day.
But that is far too witty. That's like a good username. Like,
well, okay, so I gotta come clean. It wasn't totally my idea. And I'm gonna take a picture of the sky that I'm looking at right now, because it's like beautiful outside.
It's a really nice evening.
It's gorgeous, like, finally. Mm-hmm. So there was this guy named John Simon, and John Simon was one of my sister's friends. He was a few years older than me. He was very funny. He was in like a punk or emo band or something. And his name was I Ate Your Kids.
Cool. Very,
which was very funny and cool. And I kind of copied him, or I fully copied him. And
now, are we talking about a numeral 8, or are we talking about ATE?
This is a numeral.
That's so what I thought. Okay, that's how I read it.
Number 8, your kids.
Well, that's very cool of him.
Yeah. So
it's funny how things like that. I mean, it's just like, it's just the tiniest bit of subversion. Like, oh, your username contains a controversial idea that you might eat a child. But something about that is profoundly cool. Like, especially when you're that age.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, wow, this person said something like more messed up than I would even think of in my little naive brain. They must be like worldly. Right. They must have seen some shit.
Really? Yeah, exactly. Ah, I love screen names.
Yeah. That is my, to date, well, oh God, I shouldn't have opened this. I shouldn't have kept talking. I was about to say, to date, that is the only screen name I've ever had that wasn't just my name. But there was,
really?
There was one more, but we don't have to talk about that.
Well, I think you do.
No. Oh God.
Just real quick, just like elevator pitch.
Fine, real quick. So I think we've talked about the Dave Matthews Band forum that I was a moderator on, yes?
Yes.
Great. Uh-huh. So my username in that forum for a long time was just Praise Dave. And we can move on from that conversation. We don't talk about that anymore.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad.
It's pretty bad.
There are worse things.
I liked the assonance of the two words. They got the same vowel sound.
Yeah, that is good. And I'm sure I had a couple of other like throwaway screen names around the web. But I Had a Monkey was me forever. And also, my email address, I've had since Gmail first came out. And I've just never changed it to be more professional.
Do you want to say it on air?
Yeah, I don't care. It's, like, available on my website. It's just Linder.
Yeah. Yeah, from a young age, I became very boring. Because I also had a Gmail account back in the early days. And I was like, I'll get my name. That'll be prudent. And that's what I've done on everything forever since. There are two systems that I had my name on, and then I somehow lost access to the account. I think both of them were because I, like, for a little stint there, I used the email address associated with like our cable provider and like my parents' house, and then I like lost access to that email, and therefore I couldn't reclaim these accounts. So my Skype handle is just Andy Mangold 2, because I had Andy Mangold and I couldn't get it anymore. So because I can't access the account and the password got reset and I can't get a reset password email. And then on Last.fm, do you ever use Last.fm?
Hell yeah.
We should friend each other on Last.fm. Wait, this will be good. We can see how compatible we are. My Last.fm username, I also had Andy Mangold at some point, and then I lost it to some of my own idiocy. I don't know how I lost access to that account. But when I hit reset email or reset password, I don't get an email, so I don't know where it's going. So my account on that now is just Andy the Mangold, which, if I was cooler as a kid, that would have been a cool name to be like when you were in middle school, right? Andy the Mangold, that would have been cool.
That's actually not a bad name. There was also a period of time where me and my sister had to share an email address.
Oh, that's deep cuts.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Now, how did that work? I've never shared an email address with anybody. What were the politics of that? Like,
so, I mean, we were in like the fourth and fifth grade at this time.
So nobody was like getting nudes or whatever.
Oh, no. That would have been very illegal if we had been. But it was just like Laura Linda at whatever. It wasn't like Gmail didn't exist. mm-hmm. like AOL didn't even exist. I don't even remember what our email provider was, but yeah, it was just like our shared thing. Oh, there's a rainbow.
What kind of rainbow? Talk about the rainbow.
I'll take a picture of it. We can put it in the show notes. It's just like a regular rainbow. It's not like crazy, but it's a pretty good rainbow.
Do you know your Last.fm handle off the top of your head?
Nope.
Oh, you're not telling me.
No, I actually don't. We'll probably have to do this after the fact. I'll have to dig through the archive.
I'm going to guess while we're talking.
In the meantime, I can talk about what I did today.
Do that.
I had a first today.
Not every day you have a first.
I know. Today I got to extend my first job offer.
Ooh, that's very exciting. Like, your first job offer ever?
Well, because I've been a part of the hiring process a lot.
I was
going to
say,
never...
I feel like you've definitely been a part of hiring people before.
Yeah, but this is the first time that I am, like, the head of the department, and I am reaching out to somebody to say, hey, all my homies talk to you, and we loved you.
I have my crew vetted you.
Yeah, my crew vetted your ass, and we're good to go.
My squad says you're above board.
It just, like, was the most beautiful way to start a day.
Did you already receive an acceptance?
They were very positive. They had to say, like, okay, I'm going to review the offer, which is very wise. I don't think anybody should just say, yes!
Yeah.
Without
you
got to,
like, type
the
in the salary and then divide it by 365. Important stuff like that.
Just see how much you're making per day, like, yeah. Boost your ego.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, but they are very positive. I'm pretty sure we're good to go. And I'm just so excited. It's so
great. That's such
great.
A nice feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the circle of life. Everything is, it's very sad to let people go, but I think that this type of stuff kind of makes up for it. You get to, like, have this hopeful promise of the future, and everyone's just feeling so good. It's awesome.
That's great. I am really surprised that this is the first time that you had your name on the dotted line for a job offer. But
I know.
It's a really good feeling. So
but there you go.
Yeah, that's all. I guess you got a response almost immediately, it sounds like. You didn't have, like that nervous waiting as if a boy was going to call you in middle school.
Right. It was a little bit more calculated than that.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, I did, like, call our recruiter, and her and I just did, like, a little dance. We did a little, like, video dance together.
the perils of a remote office.
Yeah, exactly.
Both dancing in your apartment somewhere.
So seriously, as a remote company, you have to be like, hey, are you around? I just need to, like, exclaim for a minute.
I need human interaction with facial expressions.
She's totally there, though. So yeah, it's been a really good
congratulations.
Day.
That's really
I'm feeling great. Yeah. I went to spin class again, and I thought about you this morning.
In spin class?
I was like, I wonder if Andy's thrown up in the last couple weeks.
I have not thrown up. Here's my current state is just... My life is just sore now. I'm just sore all the time. Is that what it's like being a healthy person?
Yeah.
You're just constantly sore?
Basically, yeah.
That doesn't
seem
great.
I went to this new kettlebell class last week that I discovered, and I'm going to go 2 more times this week. And I've been sore for like 4 days.
Yeah, I've been going every other day to the gym, and that is not enough time to recover in between. I'm just sore constantly.
No, you'll need to go every other day. So, like, go, like, on a Tuesday and a Thursday, but then you give yourself, like, Friday and Saturday off. You know, like, give yourself a 2-day buffer. Or just, like, do some cardio on that day or something.
Doing a little traveling this weekend. So this weekend I will miss.
Good.
I'll have a little bit of a break. So
we'll see
if that
makes any
difference. I don't think I'm going too hard, because it's not like, I mean, I'm just sore, and I'm sore in all the... Here's the... the recurring joke about this is, like... I ride my bike every day still, so, like, I have some, like, leg muscles. I can pedal, but the rest of my body is just, like, spaghetti noodles, right? It's just, like, strapped to, like, some legs that walk around, and they're just flopping around. So we're doing all these, like, full-body workouts, right? We're on, like, the rowing machine, or we're doing, like, these lunges where you, like, hold a kettlebell up, you know, between your arms and do these, like, lunges back and forth across the gym.
Yep.
All these, like, things that are supposed to activate your entire body. And I don't feel anything in my legs, but, like, my limitation with all the exercises is, like, I can do these lunges all day. I just can't hold this weight in my hands because it's hurting my arms, and I'm going to drop it.
Yeah.
Or we
and
do
you'll get
the,
better at that stuff. It'll be great.
We do the rowing machine. It's, like, I don't feel it in my legs at all. I just can't hold on to this stupid little, like, you know, handle anymore because I have upper body strength.
Oh, I took Colin climbing for the first time ever last week.
Yeah, his first rock climbing?
Yeah.
Did he enjoy it?
He actually loved it.
Was he a natural?
Great. Well, yeah. I mean, he's like super lean and...
Yeah, he kind of has the build of a climber. He's like...
He does.
He seems very light and he's got like kind of long arms for his like body feel.
Yeah, I think that if he goes a few more times, like he'll be way better than me already. And I've done it off and on for years. So yeah, I think he's going to be great.
Now, what are the climbing gyms like in Brooklyn? Or
so I just discovered this one. Went. So in there are a few like really big gyms like called Brooklyn Boulders. They have a few different locations that have like all of your top roping and bouldering and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I just discovered this one in Greenpoint just down the road from us that is a bouldering gym that has a lot of like inclined walls.
Mm-hmm.
Or not inclined, but like reclined. So you're kind of like
climbing. Yeah, like the cave situation.
Up and backwards. Yeah, upside down. Inverted, that's the word I'm looking for. Inverted climbs. So this gym was like really great. And I love the climbing communities in each city because they're always like, they seem to attract techie people, which is like a little lame. but it always feels like you just walked in on somebody else's like Boy Scout or Girl Scout troop meeting where... So we went, this is the first time at this gym, and they were like celebrating the front desk girl's birthday. And so everybody had brought a cake, and there was just tons of cake.
Wow.
at the gym. And it was just so sweet because everyone like clearly like saw this person every time they went, loved her and wanted to celebrate her. And like, you don't see that in normal gyms. And
yeah.
Climbing gyms for some reason have a bigger sense of community.
The CrossFit thing is definitely, at least the gym that we're going to, is very like community oriented.
Exactly.
Which, I don't know, it's very interesting.
I like that sometimes.
Well, I think it's great, right? Like, I love it. I think if I was the person that like loved working out, like this would be like a really cool community to be a part of. I feel like I'm kind of there just out of like some biological obligation to myself to not die young. So like, it's not like I don't feel like it's a social time for me.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like fun. But there is a really strong community and like, you know, it's a Facebook group and they talk about a bunch of like completely unrelated things on there. And they have their like Bright Spot Fridays where one person posts a thread and everyone responds has been good about their week. And like, just like a lot of overwhelming positivity.
Isn't it so good?
It is. It is like definitely a good force in the world. The thing you said about like climbing being overrun by techies was interesting to me. I wonder, because there's a non-zero amount of like techish people in this gym as well, or at least like tech adjacent, because Baltimore is not the technology hotbed that that Greenpoint is. But I think part of it might just be that, like, I mean, how much is the cost saving to join a climbing gym in Greenpoint for a month?
Right, because I went on my like free guest pass, so. Probably pretty expensive.
It's got to be really expensive. And this gym I'm going to...
Same with CrossFit gyms.
Yeah. This one's like $165 a month, which is like...
Which is also not bad for a CrossFit gym.
Well,
surprisingly.
Keep in mind we're in Baltimore. I feel like you got to like reset your expectations because that might be normal in like New York, but that's kind of an insane number for any like recurring thing. I don't know. It feels kind of insane to me. Like,
It is insane.
Well, basically, it just makes me feel guilty that I don't have the discipline to just get free exercise, because exercise is free. You can just go do it. Like, you
don't need... Yeah, there was this guy in Atlanta who used to run by my art school and use the street as his gym. He would like sprint down a block, use a crosswalk sign to do pull-ups, drop to the ground and do push-ups, and then keep sprinting. And I was just like, I'm a lazy asshole.
Well, yeah, like, you can just do that whenever you want.
Yeah.
And we live, like, very close to a big park that'd be nice to run around. They even have, like, some exercise. Like, you ever seen, like, the outdoor exercise machines that are in parks for, like, the community to use?
Yeah, they have little signs on how to use them.
Yeah. So we got some of those, and they're out around this, like, reservoir, and it would be, like, I have all of the things I would need to get, like, exercise on my own accord. And so mostly, like... The cost just makes me feel like a total rube for like basically saying that I have so much more money than I have like time and willpower to get exercise that I'm just gonna like pay this money to guilt myself into getting exercise.
Exactly. But I think as soon as you learn to just accept that part of yourself, like you're okay. It's fine. It's just I suck at doing it. I suck at disciplining myself to do it that way.
Yeah.
This way, I feel guilted into doing it even more because I spent that money on it.
That's what it is, right? It's just like you're. It's like a sunk cost fallacy. Well, I spent this money on this gym. I better go a bunch and more than.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song. Tell that car I like that song.
It's such a good song. And what's great about it is that it's not a car. It's a Vespa.
Oh, so good.
With a spray painted portrait of a fireman on the front of it.
Wow. That is extremely good. Living the New York dream, Linda.
The guy driving it looks like Carlos Santana, too. He had the same, like, curls. Oh, man. That was brilliant.
Very good. Very good. Did you listen to the new Kanye album?
Okay, so I've only heard tidbits, and, like, I've been trying to get into this new T-Pain because of the Drake battle that's happening between the two of them.
Wait, are T-Pain and Drake battling? I thought it was Pusha T and Drake.
Ah, shit. You know what? I just outed myself as a complete nerd.
I mean, you knew there was some rap beef going on.
I knew there
was
a rap and a T involved.
If you knew there was some rap beef, you're already, at a certain level.
Yes. But anyways, yeah.
The Pusha's diss track was great. It was so good.
It was really good.
Oh, it was so good.
I know.
But you're behind on Kanye. You haven't listened to Ye yet.
So I haven't listened to the whole thing. I've just heard that Scoopy Poop song a bunch.
Yeah.
And I loved the bit SNL did on it. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's so great. Basically, they're just a bunch of people. It's like a horror movie trope. They're in the cornfields and they're trying to be quiet or else the monster's going to get them. But then Donald Glover, he's in the scene and he sees that Kanye's new track is posted and he's like, but on his phone, but he's like, but I gotta hear it, you guys. And they're like, okay, but just keep it low. And then one by one, they get picked off by this monster because they're like, did he just say scoop to me? And then grabbed.
Sounds very good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's not actually a song on the album, though. That was just him trolling people, I think, because that track does not appear on the album.
Okay, so I don't know anything about the current state of rap music, and I'm very embarrassed.
Well, so he also said, I think he said he was going to drop two or three albums in June, and this is the first of them. So there's more coming, I think. It's a little bit unclear, because it's not a very long album. It's, pretty short.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Listen to it. We can talk about it next time. I don't have any profound thoughts about it. I just didn't know if you listened to it yet.
Ooh, I like that. This can be my homework because I've really only been listening to podcasts lately.
Yeah, what up? It me.
I know. I just haven't been listening to music at all. It's so weird.
Do you go through phases? Have we talked about this? Do you go through phases where it's you just can't? I go through parts of my life for long spans, as long as 6 months, where just music just feels way too overwrought and complicated and messy.
Yes.
It's just it's so much noise. Why are you doing so much? Stop doing so much noise in my ears.
Yeah, I just want to be stop it. It's just too many layers of shit.
Yeah.
And last night with music, we were listening to Ella Fitzgerald. That was the level of complexity that I could handle as far as music goes.
That's some good shit though.
Very good. Yeah. Very good stuff.
Also, sometimes I get in this anthropological mode where I just listening to music just seems so, where all of a sudden music just seems totally insane to me, where it's you're just making your voice go up and down and you're just saying words and why, what are you doing, weird monkey? I just think about us as weird evolved animals and I'm like, why are we doing this weird mating dance where we have a beat and then sing over it or have a piano song? What is this? Why do we do this?
Totally though. And I also, one of my coworkers told me about this podcast called The Longest Shortest Time.
Mm.
And it's kind of about just parenting in general. It's about what it's like to be a parent, what people who aren't parents are doing with their lives instead of parenting. It's really interesting. And they interviewed Terry Gross, the Fresh Air podcast host. About her decision not to have kids. And it was so fascinating that I listened to it twice.
Oh, that's a good sign.
I'm deep in Podcastville at the moment. But it's really cool because apparently her and her husband, she decided that she wanted to live alone for like 10 years of their marriage. And they've been together for like 40 years or something. And she's just like, oh no, I feel like a very independent person. And I'm just as happy when I'm eating dinner by myself than I do when I'm with my partner. And yeah, it's really interesting. Oh,
crazy. I don't know. John Hodgman has this opinion that in an ideal world, all married couples would live in like a compound where they have their own separate apartments. and they would not share a bed or a bedroom. Though he says there can't be quote unquote visits, but he's like,
oh my God.
He's like, no one should ever sleep together. We're only doing it out of necessity because apartments are small and beds are expensive. But in a perfect world, we would like live in a compound with like a courtyard between our separate apartments, and we would meet for outings and then retire to our own spaces. And I don't
know what?
There's something very poetic about that.
Having been married, I gotta say, I kind of agree. Like, I think that there's something bad that happens when you let your life become too normal with another person. It's like you become like all of the weird, monotonous, like drony parts of yourself in front of this other person that you love more than anyone. And it can be, oh yeah, you're getting married. Never mind.
Tell me more about why it's so terrible.
It's not all terrible. It's just like, and I mean, only 6 months in with Colin, I can already like feel it happening with him where you're like, we could do stuff with our lives tonight, or we could watch another episode of Atlanta.
It is kind of interesting that like when you do get into a committed relationship, especially if you're cohabitating, you all of a sudden like you have an excuse to be lazy because you're like, I'm not being lazy. I'm working on my relationship or, you know, it's date night. We're not being lazy.
Quality time.
Which actually, like, I don't know. I try hard not to like be hard on myself about that because also when I'm single, I'm just like, I feel this constant like dread of like, I have to go do things. This is horrible. And like, I don't know, the sweet spot is somewhere in between, but I don't know. I see what you're saying. I get that. Yeah, I love that monotony. That's what's up. I love me some ritual.
I think it's necessary. And I also think it's something that one must be aware of and mindful of. It's just like, if you wake up one day and realize that you've spent the last 3 years of your life watching Netflix and you're like, whoa, how did this happen to me? Then that's not good. But
yeah, I'm always for self-awareness for sure.
Yeah.
Because I hear there's some really good shows on Netflix. That's like experiencing really good art. I don't know. This could be like the golden age of television. We might look back on it and be like, you were there for Breaking Bad or whatever. I don't know.
Oh,
What are the popular TV shows? Game of Thrones. That's one of them.
Game of the Thrones? No, and you're right. And I should be less critical of it because...
Nah, be critical.
Honestly, that's
good podcast.
What I would...
Let's fight about it.
Yeah, you're right. No, this is my opinion and it's better than yours.
Marriage is bad and you're making a huge mistake.
You shouldn't do it. There's still time.
I'm excited about it. Plus, I mean, we're basically already married in like every reasonable way. We've been living together for 4 years, so it's like not gonna
it's
like
true.
I'm not concerned that my life is going to change any profound way.
I can't wait to ask you on the air about how your relationship has changed now that there's a legal document tying you to this person.
I mean, I will admit that it will probably change more than I expected to, but I expect it to change basically not at all. I don't know. We'll see. I do think it's like it feels really wild to me to like get married to somebody without having lived with them. Like that, like the idea that that's like the norm in so many parts of the country and so many cultures and across most of history is really nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I did it.
Yeah, is that how yours was?
Yeah.
So was it just like when you moved in, that was the first time you ever cohabitated with somebody ever then, right?
Yeah.
It's just too many firsts. Too many firsts all at once, I feel. Like, that would be totally, like, I don't know. I would have, like, a meltdown, I think.
I know, but I think that it was because of the religion thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I had had boyfriends in the past where we were, like, spending every night together and, like, basically living together.
Right.
But
you had
that was
separate
even,
leases.
Right. And that was even how it was with my ex-husband. Before we got married, we spent every single night together for a year, and we realized, what are we doing with two separate leases? But then both of our families were super religious, and we were just like, and we were too at the time. And so it was like, well, I guess we should just get married if we want to move in together. Because that'll be easier than, like, fighting with all of our families about living in sin.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big deal. Like, if that's what you want to do, you get married. I don't know. Get tax credit. I don't know.
I mean, and the thing is, like, I really did want to get married to this person. It wasn't, like, going against my will or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of
But then you became too boring with another person who also became too boring. And you had to
But we were, like, really good at being boring. We played so much Halo together. We just, like, killed people online, and it was so much fun.
Really? You had, like, a like a co-Halo situation going on.
Yeah, we did. We had, like, other friends who also played Halo, and we would play with them over the internet.
Was this part of your, like, of your ennui, that this was what you did together? You didn't like it in, like, the big sense?
Wait, what?
Was the playing Halo together part of the problem? Was that the monotony you described?
No, and really, like, I don't know.
That I asked relationship... because we're playing a lot of Mario Kart together right now, and I gotta know if this is a big red flag.
That's actually what Colin is doing right now. He's with his friends playing Mario Kart. It's a very big part of that whole friend group. but no, I don't really think it was a terrible thing, what happened to us. It wasn't necessarily that like ended it. So let's not assume it was that bad. But
no,
there
I don't mean to be so lighthearted or like summary about any of it. I'm sure it was an array of complex things. You were talking about like stay with somebody for a long time, you start to become boring together, and like your most monotonous side comes out. I didn't know if that was the kind of thing you were describing or if that was something
else.
Well,
this is the thing that happens with like every serious relationship to me. Like, I really love being a homebody, and I love being on the couch. And when I finally have somebody to do that with, I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think in this case, this was, like, very particular to my early 20s and having my first job for the first time. And
so you had your first job, your first cohabitation, your first marriage.
And I had this expectation in my head that once you have a full-time job, you just go home from job at the end of the day, and then you don't think about work anymore. And, like, you're doing it wrong if, for some reason, you go home at the end of the day and you're thinking about work. Like, I thought that was a reflection on how bad my time management skills were or something. So I was like, I need to just go home and, like, not think about work stuff or what I want to improve on. And, like, this is just, like, wind-down time.
Yeah, you got to go home and play fetch with the dog and cook a steak and other American things.
Yeah.
work on your hot rod in the garage.
But truly, because, and I think that maybe that's just like the model that my parents set up for me, or you know, maybe it's what America set up for me. But either way, after doing that for like a year, I was just, that's when it hit me that I was like, oh my God, what have I been doing? There's like all this stuff I want to learn about and know about, and it's all this stuff I want to do. And then I like cut my couch consumption time probably in half.
And you ate half as many couches.
Yeah, exactly. And I was much happier after I like gave into this idea that no, I can still work on stuff when I go home, and it doesn't mean that I'm a failure. If anything, it means that I'm pursuing stuff that I like.
Yeah, I feel like that's a profound part of life of any creative person. You got to be working on something.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you don't have a good work-life balance. It just means maybe you're excited.
Yeah, I mean, well, the balance is. The idea that work-life balance is supposed to be you do equal parts of both, that's not exactly how balance works so much.
Right. Balance is like
also work
do...
is part of life, so you can't really weigh them against each other. I hate like aphorisms and shit like that. I don't know.
I love my Midwestern grandpa, who's just like every waking minute of his life, he's like, why am I not working on something? Why am I not sweating? And why don't I look kind of miserable?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, being a little sore and tired and having done something, I don't know, feels a lot better to me than anything else. But that's something that can be
really
like
good.
Gardening or cooking. It doesn't have to be like, I don't know, work in the traditional sense.
Right.
I just like to make things, even if it's just a garden without weeds in it.
Totally.
Good chat, Linda.
Good chat.
Are you going to keep walking on this beautiful evening, or are you going to go play some Mario Kart?
I'm going to keep walking because it's so nice out, and I don't know how many more nights like this I'm going to have where it's not insanely humid.
Yeah. Enjoy them while you got them. Pretty soon the air conditioner is going to be raining down on you.
Oh, you're right.
All right. Good night, Linda.
Good night, Andy.
Bye.
Bye.